Product Line Review. One of Jobs' great strengths was knowing how to focus. "Deciding what not to do is as important as deciding what to do," he said. "That's true for companies, and it's true for products." He went to work applying this principle as soon as he returned to Apple. One day he was walking the halls and ran into a young Wharton School graduate who had been Emilio's assistant, who said he was wrapping up his work. "Well, good, because I need someone to do grunt work," Jobs told him. His new role was to take notes as Jobs met with the dozens of product teams at Apple, asked them to explain what they were doing, and forced them to justify going ahead with their products or projects. He also enlisted a friend, Phil Schiller, who had worked at Apple but was then at the graphics software company, Macromedia. Steve would summon the teams into the boardroom, which seats 20, and they would come with 30 people and try to show PowerPoints, which Steve didn't want to see, Schiller recalled. One of the first things Jobs did during the product review process was ban PowerPoints. "I hate the way people use slide presentations instead of thinking," Jobs later recalled. "People would confront a problem by creating a presentation. I wanted them to engage, to hash things out at the table, rather than show a bunch of slides. People who know what they're talking about don't need PowerPoint." The product review revealed how unfocused Apple had become. The company was churning out multiple versions of each product because of bureaucratic momentum and to satisfy the whims of retailers. "It was insanity," Schiller recalled. "Tons of products, most of them crap, done by deluded teams." Apple had a dozen versions of the Macintosh, each with a different confusing number, ranging from 1400 to 9600. "I had people explaining this to me for 3 weeks," Jobs said. "I couldn't figure it out." He finally began asking simple questions like, "Which ones do I tell my friends to buy?" When he couldn't get simple answers, he began slashing away at models and products. Soon he had cut 70% of them. "You are bright people," he told one group. "You shouldn't be wasting your time on such crappy products." Many of the engineers were infuriated at his slash-and-burn tactics, which resulted in massive layoffs. But Jobs later claimed that the good engineers, including some whose projects were killed, were appreciative. He told one staff meeting in September 1997, "I came out of the meeting with people who had just gotten their products canceled, and they were 3 feet off the ground with excitement because they finally understood where in the heck we were going." After a few weeks, Jobs finally had enough. "Stop," he shouted at one big product strategy session. "This is crazy." He grabbed a magic marker, padded to a whiteboard, and drew a horizontal and vertical line to make a four-squared chart. "Here's what we need," he continued. Atop the two columns, he wrote Consumer and Pro. He labeled the two rows Desktop and Portable. Their job, he said, was to make 4 great products, one for each quadrant. The room was in dumb silence, Schiller recalled. There was also a stunned silence when Jobs presented the plan to the September meeting of the Apple board. "Gil had been urging us to approve more and more products every meeting," Woolard recalled. "He kept saying, 'We need more products.' Steve came in and said, 'We needed fewer.' He drew a matrix with 4 quadrants and said that this was where we should focus." At first, the board pushed back. "It was a risk," Jobs was told. "I can make it work," he replied. The board never voted on the new strategy. Jobs was in charge, and he forged ahead. The result was that the Apple engineers and managers suddenly became sharply focused on just 4 areas. For the professional desktop quadrant, they would work on making the Power Macintosh G3. For the professional portable, there would be the PowerBook G3. For the consumer desktop, work would begin on what became the iMac. And for the consumer portable, they would focus on what would become the iBook. The I, Jobs later explained, was to emphasize that the devices would be seamlessly integrated with the Internet. Apple's sharper focus meant getting the company out of other businesses, such as printers and servers. In 1997, Apple was selling StyleWriter color printers that were basically a version of the Hewlett-Packard DeskJet. HP made most of its money by selling the ink cartridges. "I don't understand," Jobs said at the product review meeting. "You're going to ship 1 million and not make money on these? This is nuts." He left the room and called the head of HP. "Let's tear up our arrangement," Jobs proposed, "and we will get out of the printer business and just let you do it." Then he came back to the boardroom and announced the decision. "Steve looked at the situation and instantly knew we needed to get outside of the box," Schiller recalled. The most visible decision he made was to kill, once and for all, the Newton, the personal digital assistant with the almost good handwriting recognition system. Jobs hated it because it was Scully's pet project, because it didn't work perfectly, and because he had an aversion to stylus devices. He had tried to get Emilio to kill it early in 1997 and succeeded only in convincing him to try to spin off the division. By late 1997, when Jobs did his product reviews, it was still around. He later described his thinking. "If Apple had been in a less precarious situation, I would have drilled down myself to figure out how to make it work. I didn't trust the people running it. My gut was that there was some really good technology, but it was fucked up by mismanagement. By shutting it down, I freed up some good engineers who could work on new mobile devices. And eventually, we got it right when we moved on to iPhones and the iPad." This ability to focus saved Apple. In his first year back, Jobs laid off more than 3,000 people, which salvaged the company's balance sheets. For the fiscal year that ended when Jobs became interim CEO in September 1997, Apple lost $1.04 billion. "We were less than 90 days from being insolvent," he recalled. At the January 1998 San Francisco Macworld, Jobs took the stage where Emilio had bombed a year earlier. He sported a full beard and a leather jacket as he touted the new product strategy. And for the first time, he ended the presentation with a phrase that he would make his signature coda. "Oh, and one more thing." This time, the one more thing was, "Think profit." When he said those words, the crowd erupted in applause. After 2 years of staggering losses, Apple had enjoyed a profitable quarter, making $45 million. For the full fiscal year of 1998, it would turn in a $309 million profit. Jobs was back, and so was Apple.